in the limelight. In Myanmar, citizenship is not like in other countries. Being born in Myanmar is not enough to be a full citizen. Instead, the country has tiers of citizenship dependent upon ethnicity, religion, and ancestry. The country officials use the racist term mixed blood to describe non-Buddhist residents. Minority ethnic and religious groups are often kept in lower tiers of citizenship, which restricts their ability to travel, to obtain government jobs, and to seek higher education. The Rohingya minority face the worst discrimination, only being recognized at the lowest tier, which treats them as undocumented foreigners, despite being born inside the country for generations. These policies are in defiance of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, to which Myanmar is a party, by hindering the right to nationality and the right to freedom of movement. The Myanmar government, which remains dominated by the military, began its degradation of the Rohingya's rights way back in the 1960s, and finally removed them completely with the 1982 citizenship law, which excluded the Rohingya from the country's list of recognized ethnicities that qualify as citizens. We now present you an article written jointly by Kwe Win and Sarib Sheikh under the heading "Ongoing Oppression of Rohingya Highlighted Again." Please stay with us for more of Kwe Win and Sarib Sheikh's article. Report has highlighted the need for the international community to examine the ongoing oppression against the Rohingya minority in Myanmar. Myanmar is a nation whose history is marred by the struggle between those in power and those they oppress. In recent years, this has been especially true of the ethnic Rohingya in the country's Western Rakhine State. They have faced decades of oppression, culminating most recently in a military campaign against them that is now being investigated as genocide by the United Nations. In a recent report by the Burma Human Rights Network, 160 cases were documented over 4 years of discriminatory prosecution against the Rohingya minority for attempting to move freely in the country where they were born. Whilst the military campaign against the Rohingya minority may have paused for the time being, the ongoing effort to cause them harm through the legal system and in the media is fully operational. In Myanmar, citizenship is not like in other countries. Being born in Myanmar is not enough to be a full citizen of the country. Instead, the country has tiers of citizenship dependent upon your ethnicity, your religion, and your ancestry. The country officially uses the racist term mixed blood to describe non-Buddhist residents. Minority ethnic and religious groups are often kept in lower tiers of citizenship, which restricts their ability to travel, to obtain government jobs, and to seek higher education in Myanmar. The Rohingya minority face the worst type of discrimination, only being recognized at the lowest tier, which treats them as undocumented foreigners, despite being born inside the country for generations. These policies are in defiance of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, to which Myanmar is a party, by hindering the right to nationality and the right to freedom of movement. The Myanmar government, which remains dominated by the military, began its degradation of the Rohingya rights way back in the 1960s, and finally removed them completely with the 1982 citizenship law, which excluded the Rohingya from the country's list of recognized ethnicities that qualify as Myanmar citizens. Because of this, the Rohingya have been denied fundamental freedoms, which no government should be able to withhold from its own people. Over time, more and more rights have been removed from the Rohingya to the point that Rohingya today are disenfranchised from voting in elections, have been barred from running for office, are not permitted to travel outside their own villages, and cannot attend higher education programs in Myanmar, whilst their access to healthcare is severely limited. To appease the international community whilst achieving its own ends, Myanmar has attempted to force the Rohingya to register for national verification cards, a scheme that it claims is a track to the naturalization of the Rohingya. But research shows it has only been used to further degrade their status by forcing them to register as Bengalis and offers them no additional rights. The restrictions on travel have placed an especially large burden on the Rohingya minority, preventing them from seeking employment, from seeking medicine or safety from the ongoing conflict in the region. The Rohingya who live in Rakhine State are expected to remain in their own villages or in the open-air prisons of the camps for internally displaced people, where they have been without any sign of relocation since 2012. Yet, predictably, many Rohingya attempt to leave this situation in hope of finding a better life outside of the camps. Some have attempted to flee by boat or by land through towns and cities en route to Malaysia or to Thailand. Those who do so and are caught have been disproportionately punished by the government of Myanmar and by the authorities with racist and antiquated laws that defy basic international norms and myriad human rights laws. Rohingya who are arrested for travelling outside their villages face significantly worse penalties than actual foreigners travelling through the country without documentation. When the Rohingya are arrested, the Burma Human Rights Network has found that their trials are conducted so quickly they're unable to obtain legal representation, they are denied due process, and they're often given the harshest penalties possible under the law. For Rohingya, they risk fleeing an open-air prison only to be placed in actual prisons for the crime of trying to live as freely as someone else born in Myanmar of the state's preferred ethnicity and religion. These arrests have increased after the military's 2016 and 2017 campaigns that dislodged nearly a million Rohingya from the state into refugee camps in neighbouring Bangladesh. The circumstances that the Rohingya in refugee camps and in Myanmar face are understandably desperate, and that has pushed them to seek help from human traffickers. In a startling discovery by the Burma Human Rights Network, cases against traffickers were seldom made when Rohingya were prosecuted for illegally travelling through Myanmar or offshore. In cases where traffickers were prosecuted, the Rohingya being trafficked were still given harsher sentences and not treated as victims. To make matters worse, local media outlets in Myanmar utilise demonising and dehumanising language to describe the Rohingya who were arrested for travelling. Often they're described as Bengali, as a way to assert that the Rohingya are foreign. Frequently, they're called illegal Bengali immigrants or illegal immigrants of the Islamic faith. These terms are used to convince the public, who already are heavily bombarded with ultra-nationalist propaganda, that the Rohingya are not people born in Myanmar who are trying to find safety and livelihood, but rather they are nefarious foreigners breaking laws around the country. In a country where anti-Muslim riots have broken out regularly over the past decade, this is both malicious and dangerous. It turns the public against one of its most vulnerable demographics and entrenches sentiments that have already been used to justify the genocide against the Rohingya. Myanmar, particularly its de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, should make morally correct decision to make genuine effort to grant the Rohingya minority full citizenship and rights in the country. The Rohingya living in Myanmar must be allowed to travel freely in their own country without impediment due to their ethnicity or religion. The Rohingya living in refugee camps in neighbouring Bangladesh must be allowed to return as full citizens to Myanmar with full rights as well. Anything short of this is apartheid, regardless of how politically advantageous it may be. Along with being a major health risk, COVID-19 has proved to be a massive economic shock to much of the world. For those communities at the margins, their underlying vulnerabilities have been exposed even further by the COVID-19 pandemic. This especially applies to the Rohingya minority in Myanmar, who are in the grips of one of their worst collective crises as a people. This August marked the third anniversary to the genocidal campaign conducted by the Myanmar military against the Rohingya people. The Myanmar military strikes were designed to clear the Rohingya from their ancestral homeland of Arakan in Rakhine State and resulted in more than 700,000 Rohingya fleeing for their lives. Most of these refugees ended up huddled in Cox's Bazar in neighbouring Bangladesh. In 1982, the Burmese military regime delisted the Rohingya as an official ethnicity within the country, in effect stripping them of their citizenship right. Since then, they have been gradually expelled from the country, an ethnic cleansing campaign that, sadly, has accelerated since the return of the so-called democracy to the country in 2011. They are now a stateless diaspora of more than 3 million people scattered across countries such as Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Thailand, Malaysia, and Indonesia, where more than 1 million Rohingya are currently stuck. The immediate COVID-19 backlash faced by the Rohingya was seen in Malaysia. In April, two ships carrying Rohingya refugees were turned away from the Malaysian coast by the Malaysian Navy. This sparked a wave of xenophobia, particularly online, among many locals who took out their lockdown-induced anxiety on the hapless Rohingya. They were quickly branded collectively as burdensome and ungrateful. Several mosques and markets in the country began openly to bar Rohingya from entry, which was especially surprising as Malaysia has historically been known for its solidarity with the Rohingya's plight. Similar nativist campaigns against the Rohingya were also seen in Saudi Arabia. In Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh, the first COVID-19 cases were seen in June of this year and generated concern that the disease would spread like wildfire in the squalor of the camps, where social distancing measures seemed practically unenforceable. Fortunately, the spread of the disease has thus far been contained to manageable levels thanks to proactive testing. However, friction between locals and the Rohingya refugees is also on the rise in Cox's Bazar. In August, a shooting incident with alleged Rohingya involvement sparked violent clashes in which houses and shops of Rohingya were vandalized. According to Amnesty International, it is estimated that since 2017, more than 100 Rohingya in Bangladesh have been victims of extrajudicial killings. With a backdrop of rising tensions, the Bangladeshi government is moving forward with a controversial plan to relocate many of the Rohingya to the remote island of Basanchar, where a supposed 100,000 housing plots are to be created. This endeavour has caused a certain amount of unease and uncertainty among the Rohingya leaders, with human rights organisations concerned that its conditions in the future could resemble a prison rather than a housing complex. With the solidarity of the Rohingya in many Muslim-majority countries being steadily eroded, and with the material conditions of the Rohingya in these countries having severely worsened since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, this development paints a very bleak picture. In the words of Muhammad Noor, director of the Rohingya Vision television station, "This situation has put a multitude of crises on the shoulders of the Rohingya beyond its capacity to endure. And we are facing isolation as a people, as COVID-19 has pushed the Rohingya issue down the list of priorities for many countries, as you would expect. We are a community with very few options left to us."